I hope you'll take your Bible and turn with me to Luke 1 is where we're going to be today. I'm going to look through a text there. I love, one thing you'll learn about me is I love this time of year. I love Thanksgiving. I love the holidays. I love the Christmas season. I love everything that goes on with that. I love the fact that the world stops to look at Jesus during the month of December, sometimes when it doesn't look or recognize him at all through the other 11 months. And I think it's fantastic that the world stops to look at Jesus and who he is. And even though we don't know when he was born, I think it's fantastic that the world just focuses for a while. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And next week also, we're going to talk this week about Mary. And I believe next week about Joseph. But I want to talk a little bit about Mary and who she was in Luke chapter 1, because we tie this neatly little package up of this beautiful little story, and we think of it as just, it's so cute and so sterile and so precious, and the story of Mary getting word that she is going to give birth to a son as an unwed, unmarried virgin mother is just, it's awkward. It is just one of those things that we don't really take time to look at to just think what Mary must have been through. And sometimes we don't spend enough time talking about Mary. She's kind of got a bad rap over time, because sometimes when people take something and make it out to be more than it should be, and sometimes people do that with Mary, then sometimes we kind of back off and go, well, let's don't talk about her because everybody else is. And I think she sometimes deserves more than what we have said. And so we're going to look down in verse 36 in chapter 1 at some stuff about Mary in a place that would have been very, very hard for her at a time, although exciting. There's got to be so many emotions. So if you will, notice with me for a second, and let's read from Luke chapter 1, and we'll start down in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. So can we stop there for a second? Your Bible may say the word pledged. It may say the word engaged. It may use whatever it was. But let me explain a little bit the difference between marriage in their custom and marriage in our custom. Mary and Joseph would have been set up by parents, probably along the lines of, we like her. Would you let him marry our son? And Mary's parents going, we like him. Would you? And so it was kind of lined up ahead of time, and everything lined up, and they had kind of signed the contract. They had said, we are officially married. And when you read this right here, what I want you to understand is this is not an engagement like we understand an engagement. They were married. There had not been a ceremony. There had not been a consummation of this marriage, but they were married. And that's why when you find out later that Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant, he's going, the word is, divorce her quietly, because this was a done deal. And so this is a big deal. It's a little awkward in this story. So notice with me, here is Mary. She's pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Now, anytime an angel shows up and talks to you, that's probably what you want to hear first thing, is something along those lines. Greetings to you who is highly favored. She's trying to figure out, what does he want from me? What is this all about? In fact, the next verse, if you'll notice verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting might this be. I have that word circled in my Bible, the word trouble, because this was a big deal to Mary. Mary was like, I don't understand what's going on. Why are you here? Why are you talking to me? And besides all that, we haven't mentioned it. Mary was probably around the age, we're just guessing, somewhere between 16 and 18 years old. So she was young. And she's a little troubled trying to figure out what's going on. Why is he talking to me? And notice what it says, verse 30. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid. That's the second thing you always want to hear from an angel, right? I find it interesting that most of the time an angel shows up, the very first words are, do not be afraid, because everybody is afraid. And so he tells Mary, don't fear. It's going to be all right. And here's what he says. Mary, you have found favor with God. The same word used for Noah in the book of Genesis in chapter 6, and Noah found favor with the eyes of the Lord, is the word that Mary has said right here. You have found favor with the Lord. And it says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. This is a lot for a teenage girl to take in right here. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. And so that is a lot to be given to her right then. And maybe right at first she's thinking, hey, this is great. You know, someday I'm excited about being a mom. And then she realizes, I think he's talking about right now. In verse 34, Mary asks the question, how can this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, and the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. And while this is so much for Mary to take in, I want you to notice her response right here. This is the other one I have underlined. This is big. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. And that gives me just a little bit of chills. And I'll tell you why. Because everything that's wrapped up in this isn't an easy thing. Everything that Mary has just been told is not something that's just going to be, oh, this is going to be exciting and everybody's going to be great for us. This is going to mess up her relationship with Joseph for a while. She's got to come and tell Joseph what's happened. He's not going to get it. He's not going to understand it. In fact, he's not even going to believe it for a while. And he's going to say, I'm going to quietly divorce you because he was a good man. And then the same angel will come back to him again and go, no, this is real. Come on. But she's going to have to explain to parents, family. People are going to whisper. They're not even married. They've not even had the ceremony. And she's expecting. This is a big deal. And I don't know what it would be like for you to have a young teenage daughter that comes to you with this story. And how that would go over with you, or even to have a son who is marrying a girl who came to him and told him that story, you'd be going, hey, I've got all kinds of red flags here. And yet, this is the story of how God chose to do it, not neatly wrapped up in some package to go, this is so smooth and so easy and so cute, but this is so God. And so there's some lessons in here that we can learn this morning that I want you to catch, that Mary can teach us about how to handle situations that are a little uncomfortable, a little bit, hey, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. First one that I want you to catch this morning is this. Despite Mary's fears, she trusted God. Despite the fact that she comes along and goes, I don't understand this. I'm a little uncomfortable with this. This is very, very scary. I am going to trust God in this. And I love that about her. It says she was absolutely greatly troubled. She's got to be very confused with what's going on as well. The thing that amazes me is Mary is saying, my relationship with God is more important than what other people think of me. If you thought about that for a second. Because God's going to put her in this awkward situation. And you notice what she doesn't do here. She doesn't go, Lord, can you tell me how I'm going to explain this to to Joseph? Can you tell me, Lord, what I'm supposed to tell my mom and dad and what I'm supposed to tell all my neighbors and all my friends? She doesn't say that. She just puts her faith in God to go, God can handle this. I'm going to trust that God can handle this. She said, my relationship with God is more important than my relationship with everybody else. And if it tests those relationships, that is okay. Sometimes in life when people give their life to the Lord, they put themselves in a situation, especially if they were not a Christian family, where they're giving their life to the Lord and their family, they may have to go, hey, I don't know what this is going to do to my family, but this is the right thing to do for me, and I'm going to trust God with this. And that takes a lot of faith to do. Notice in verse 38 for a second. We're going to get back to this later, but I want you to notice down in verse 38 what she says. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. It's as if she is saying, may it be as you say. That's what one translation says. And the part that stands out to me why this is such a big deal is because it sounds a whole lot like Jesus, doesn't it? When you fast forward a few chapters to the end of Jesus' life and he's praying in the garden, and he's saying, Lord, if this can happen, if sins can be forgiven other way than me having to die, and he prays that three times, let it be, and then he says exactly these words, not your will, not my will, but your will be done. Sounds a lot like he learned something from his mama. And can I remind you for a second that mama, your faith influences your kids in a lot of ways? Because here's Mary, and obviously she has lived a life that has influenced Jesus in a positive way. When you find trouble coming, just like Mary did, even though you don't understand it, one of the best things you can do is trust God. Look at the second thing on your list. In the midst of Mary's trials, she prays God. Now, we didn't read it, but when you get down to verse 46, Mary prays this prayer or has this beautiful song. And actually, the song is, we sing it sometimes. We get the song Magnificat from it. The Lord, if you'll notice down here, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in you. You sing that song. It's the one we do in part sometimes. This comes from Mary's song. And I want you to note for a second what Mary's song doesn't say. Mary's song is not a dirge. It's not a woe is me song. It's not a, Lord, why are you putting all this pressure on me? It is a song of praise. I'm amazed that here's Mary in the middle of her trial and she goes, I think that I want to give the Lord glory. Our natural response sometimes in trials is to ask God, why? Why am I going through this? Why is it that this is happening to me? But I want you to notice what she does. She doesn't say, why God? You know what she says? She goes, you know, I think this is probably a good time for me to worship. This is probably a good time for me to praise. Reminds me a little bit of David in the story where you remember when he was fasting and praying over a child that he thought or knew was going to die. Thought, maybe I can change the Lord's mind. And he fasted and he prayed and he was beside himself. And when the child passed, he gets up, he takes a bath, he puts on clean clothes. And you remember where he goes? To the temple to worship. And I think you learn from David, I think you learn from Mary, that sometimes when you're going through some hard times and some trials, that we tend to be people who go, hey, I don't want to be around people. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go sing. And here's Mary and David, who are both setting the example that maybe the place that we need to be is someplace worshiping God. That we need to glorify God when things get a little bit tough. She didn't look for somebody to blame in all this. She simply said, I'm going to worship and magnify the Lord. Third thing that I think you can catch is that Mary's trials drew her closer to God. Sometimes when we have trials, it does this. And that's one of the good things about trials. I hear people sometimes say, hey, you know, I'm going through this and I'm just leaning on God. I'm leaning into Him. And that's what trials need to do. Some people don't do that. Some people choose to do the other. I had a lady one time call me and said, would you pray for my son? And I said, what's going on? Her daughter, his daughter, my granddaughter is very sick and they've put her in the hospital and they're thinking bad things and he's denying his faith. And I remember thinking to myself, boy, if there was ever a time to not deny your faith, it was now. So when you go through trials, you have about three options. When you have struggles, you got about three options. You can deny your faith, you can doubt your faith, or you can rely on your faith. And during a tough time, that's the one you need. If there was ever a time to rely on God, it's when the trials come and bring you closer to Him. You know, we want what is best for our kids. We start teaching our kids at an early age their ABCs. We want them to be smart. We want them to move into school and be liked. We want them to excel in classes. We want them to make good grades. There's not anything wrong with that. We want them to do well in sports. Mary was absolutely no different. Mary wanted Jesus to be liked. He wanted him to excel in the world. But I want to remind you that instead, Mary watched people try to kill Jesus multiple times. Mary, you know, she heard, was within earshot to hear people talking negatively about Jesus and who he was pretending to be, they believed. Mary saw people try to kill Jesus and Herod when Jesus was a baby. And although she wanted the best for her son, she saw him hung on a cross between a couple of thieves and die as a crook. She watched people hate him. That must have been tough. And yet, her faith. James chapter 4 says, if you'll draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And as a young girl, she found herself kind of in a pickle that was part of God's plan. And instead of driving her further away from God or away from God, she drove closer to God. Look at the fourth thing we learned from Mary, and I absolutely love this point. Mary trusted God in the unknown. Mary didn't know what's going to happen in the future. But you know what? She knew who did. This is something that we have a hard time comprehending. I've been trying to teach our college kids this concept of God for a second, because sometimes the unknown is a scary thing for us. We don't like the unknown. We like to be comfortable. We don't like to change. We don't like anything to change out there in our world. We just want to stay where we are because we don't know what's going to be out there. You remember the children of Israel when they were in Egypt as slaves. And Moses said, let's leave here. And they go, oh no, we like it here. They were slaves. But they didn't know what's out there. Where are you going to take us? What is planned for us? And it took them forever before Moses finally got them to go, okay, let's go. Because we're afraid of the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. Abraham, when God told him to leave, and God just told him, said, I'll let you know when you get where we're going. I'm not telling you now. And then in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis, this is where this whole theme comes to play right here. When Abraham takes to sacrifice Isaac, remember that? And it says that that the Lord provided a ram. Do y'all remember that story? That word provided, that's the word I want you to catch for a second. We learned something new about God right there. The word there, provided, is the word pro-video. It means that God he knew in advance, before Abraham ever showed up, that he needed to get a ram there in order for him to have something to sacrifice. God saw in the future, or you can put it this way, God was already there putting a ram there before Abraham showed up. So here's the thing you got to catch. In the unknown, guess who's already there? It's God. He's pro-video. He already is waiting on you to show up. He knows what's going on. And when we get to this point about trusting God in the unknown, you don't know what's going on, but you know who does? He's already there. God is pro-video. He's already seen it. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, another verse that tells us about this. Notice this, the Lord himself goes before you. What does that mean? Well, you may be worried about something coming up on Tuesday. Maybe surgery is scheduled. Guess what? He's already there. You don't have to worry about, I don't know what's going on. God does. The Lord goes before you. He'll be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. He's pro-video. He's already in the future waiting on you. And I like Proverbs. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You know this one. Trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I'm not gonna be dishonest to you at all this morning and tell you that this time 1 year ago today, we were moving to Lubbock, Texas, and I was just so confident about it. I will tell you, 21 years in a place, you get pretty comfortable. I liked it where I was at. Does that make sense? I knew what to expect. I didn't know what was here. But as we prayed, we talked about the fact that, you know what? God's already in Lubbock waiting on us. God's already there. It's not like he's only here where I am now. He's already there in the future, and it's going to be all right. And you know what? Sometimes it's good to trust God, and I'm glad that I did. Some of you have lost loved ones. I know a man that's going to be in a second service today, and he's struggling because his marriage is ending. But you know what? God's already there knowing what's going to happen. There's never been anything that has surprised God, ever. Nothing ever happens in your life that goes, well, I didn't see that coming. He's already been there. He's already seen the video. He knows what's happening. One of the biggest dad fail moments in my life, there's been a few, but this was a big one, was we were doing some Christmas shopping in Amarillo, and all my kids were small, and they were exhausted, and Lee, she can shop, and we were trying to get all of it knocked out in one day and get this over with, and we got out at the mall after they were like, do we have to stop again? And I said, come on, we can do this, guys, let's go. I'm the cheerleader pumping them up, and Connor, who was about this big, that's my third son, he was just like, oh, I don't want to go, and he was not happy. And I thought this would be fun. I thought, okay, let's do this. I said, here we go, Connor. I'm going to race you into the building. He said, I don't want to race. And I said, okay, then I'm going to get, it had snowed. There was this huge pile of icy snow where they had all pushed up in a pile with a bulldozer. And I said, well, if you don't run, I'm going to hit you with this snowball. And I just thought this would be fun. And this will make him run and we'll get to the doors. And he'll go, Dad, that was fun. And he said, oh, Dad, don't do that. And I said, oh, yeah, you better run. I start wadding up this snowball. And he takes off running. And I thought, I'm just going to throw this as high as I can. And it'll just splatter around his feet like I was really trying to hit him. And as he runs in, he'll go, wow, I just made it safely, barely. But I threw that snowball as high as I could throw it. And it came down and landed on the top of his head. I couldn't have done that again if I'd have tried 100 times. And he was mad. And I don't blame him one drop. And you know what I said? This is the dumbest thing in the world. I said, Connor, I wasn't trying to hit you. And he said, Dad, you just said you were going to hit me with a snowball. And I said, I know what I said, but I literally wasn't trying to. And it didn't work. And I was trying to reestablish that I was not a horrible dad with him at that point. But I didn't see it coming. That was the last thing that I thought would happen. No way can I hit that kid throwing that snowball up that high in the air. You know, when it comes to God, God has never had a moment where he goes, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that was going to happen. What in the world? God always knows. He's pro video. He's in the future. He sees the unknown that you're so scared of. He's already waiting on you. Look at this last point down here, number 5. Mary surrendered her will to God. Mary surrendered to God's plan for her life and for her child. And some of you need to do just that. We just talked about it. Well, you'd have thought we planned the communion talk and the sermon together. Surrender your, let go of being in charge. I know people that literally can't go on a trip with other people unless they're the one driving because they don't trust anybody else. They want to be in control. That may be you. If that's you, some point you got to give up control. You got to trust the Lord. I've decided I'll ride with Lee and she can drive and we'll either arrive at home or we'll arrive in heaven, one of the two, and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. But you think about it for a second. We just have to be in control of everything. And Mary goes, I'm just turning all of this over to God. He is in charge. And when you surrender, man, life's so much easier. When you got kids that you, we talked about it last week, you let them go to fly. When you surrender them to the Lord and go, Lord, I'm just going to turn this child over to you because you can't control them anyway when they leave home. Man, life gets so much easier. And notice down here, she says, She says, Mary answered, Lord, may your words to me be fulfilled. And then here's Jesus over later at the end of his life saying, Lord, not your will but mine. Oh, it sounds like his mama. We need to let control and let God. We seem to be under the impression that if we control things, we will avoid suffering and trials and tribulations. And that's just not true. We can learn a lot from a expectant teenage girl who's going to try to figure out how am I going to talk to my family about this. And here's Mary, confused, pregnant teenage girl, and she's going to say, let it be as you say. And then she's going to turn around and sing, my soul magnifies the Lord. One of the best things you and I can do is learn from Mary, learn to let go, learn to let God control. He's already there. He can handle it. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time. If we can pray for you this morning, we want to encourage you to come during this song. If you're ready to become a Christian, also a great time to do that this morning and give Christ your life and be baptized. Something we can help you with. Please come as we stand and sing this song.